At this time, I'll call to order the regular meeting of Juneau Township Board of Trustees. It is June 1st, 2017, and the time is 6:31 p.m. Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Here, yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. We have everyone present and accounted for. At this time, I will ask Joe Schaefer to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Also present, we have Chief Gamble, Chief Honeycutt, Joe Schaefer, Leslie Strader, Paul Wise. I guess that's it. All right. Public comment. We had Bob Lamb, our Economic Development Director, who's going to do a presentation on the Economic Development Action Plan, do a presentation on that. But we got word last minute that Bob's father-in-law has a medical issue, and so he's dealing with that. So we have rescheduled Bob for, I believe it's July, the second meeting in July. So he will be in to talk about that plan. Trustee comments? I'm sorry, is there any other public comment? The way we do public comment is this is sort of an open issue public comment period. At any time during the meeting, if you wish to comment on a specific issue being discussed at that time, you're more than welcome to just raise your hand and we'll recognize you. Come on up to the microphone, give your name, address, and make your comments. But at this time, if there's anything in general that anyone would like to speak on, please come forward. Sure, come on. I can see the anticipation in your face. Come on.
I know. I feel so underdressed.
No, you're fine.
So my name is Carrie Keith. I'm at 7472 Totten Springs, right over here in Covington Meadows. Been a resident of Genoa Township for 10 years, and hopefully this is not being covered under development and zoning, but I and a few of my concerned neighbors are wondering about the construction that is proposed on Mount Royal and Old 3C.
Okay.
There has been some talk that houses are being purchased down there by a particular developer in order to make room for high-density condos, high-density apartments, possibly a town center. I know that that was removed last year. But frankly, we're all sort of concerned that I know there's a roundabout plan down there, and I didn't know what the status of the trustees was. I mean, where does Genoa Township stand on that? And are we going to allow high-density condos and or apartments to be placed down there?
Joe, would you like to comment on that?
Sure. So there are, I believe, three parcels owned by Romanelli and Hughes. I'm sure you're familiar with those parcels. They're the ones that they attempted to rezone last year in around August. That application was revoked. That time they were looking at them. Condos, I want to say it was around 20-something, maybe 23 units over, I think, about 10 acres. They pulled that application. They thought about maybe just subdividing instead of just doing single-family homes on that property. They haven't really moved forward with that. So at this time, I really don't know what their intentions are. They do own the parcels. I assume they didn't buy them just to sit on them, so I would anticipate something happening there. Either they'll sell them to someone else, or they will
Is there any policy or economic development plan that would prohibit high density types of things down there, or are we talking just a limit? I mean, 23 condos seems sort of large to me, only because I drive that street every day and it's already quite congested with the houses that are down there. But
sure. The comprehensive plan recommendation for that area, planning area one, on those parcels is residential at a density level of 2.2 meters per net developable acres. So without having to calculate every year and knowing the exact size of the parcel, I can't tell you exactly what.
2.2, he said, what, 10 acres? Is that?
They'd be allowed. That's net developable acres, so there's some more complicated calculations that go into that. So whether or not there a divergence would be granted to exceed density, that really would not be, that would be really to the discretion of the trustee.
Okay. And just one follow-up question. Is this something that, if an application was put in, is this something that the residents of Genoa Township would be alerted to?
Oh, yes.
Would it just be this little meeting? Because there are three of us here.
No.
I don't know.
No, this is a pretty sparse attendance for these meetings.
Okay.
No, it would be advertised in the paper. We have it on our website.
Okay, so there would be.
We put up a sign in front of the properties that say, you know, meeting on the date. It'll have the basic information. We'll give
okay.
you the specifics, but I'll tell you. Here's the date, here's the time, here's the place.
So there would be public comment for an application.
Oh, yeah, there would be a public hearing.
Okay.
There will be plenty of opportunity for public comment on any development application.
Okay. All right.
You did ask about the road.
Yes. I know they've been trying to get easements for a long time for sidewalks.
So there's sort of two components to that project. You can call it a roundabout. We were going to be able to roundabout. Now what they're looking at is sort of call it a teardrop. My understanding of that portion of the project is for the past several years, when ODOT recently changed the traffic flow configuration from Mount Royal to Southbound 3 and put it to a left, it changed
right.
some of the traffic count, made it a little, some of the condition out there slightly better, so now the county has wanted to step back and see how that functions before they decide
okay.
whether or not they still need to do the teardrop plan.
Well, if anyone asks, we left and you left.
Yeah,
it seems to be functioning very well. So I think my guess is they're monitoring that just to see how that's going to function over the long term.
Okay.
To see if they need to make any changes to the plan. I do believe they do plan on moving forward with the widening of Old 3 from Mount Royal up to Freeman Road.
Okay.
That you can see they start to clear out some of the trees. You can
right.
see the station around that. That is underway.
Okay. All right.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming out tonight. Anyone else? Seeing none? As I said, there would be opportunity if there are issues you want to speak on. At this time, trustee comments. Anything?
In follow-up to our discussions regarding the Delaware County Emergency Management Agency mm-hmm. contract, as well as our conversations about the warning sirens, I've invited Sean Miller to come back at our June 15th meeting to talk about the benefits of warning sirens, our concerns with the proposed contract, and representation somehow, some way on the executive committee.
Okay.
The executive committee is who the executive director reports to.
Right.
And I had a conversation with Steve Volpe, who's the chairperson of the Delaware County Township Association that does the appointments, and they're not anticipating a meeting until August or September.
Okay.
So there's no quick fix, although everybody is receptive to getting more inclusive representation, I'll use that phrase,
okay.
possibly from all townships, not just three,
yeah.
because of the, like we talked before, the cities and municipalities and villages all have a representative. So Sean is very receptive to that, but he's kind of bound by their, whatever I'll call it a constitution, that's not the right word, whatever their bylaws are.
Yeah.
And the Township Association would be willing to, is in favor of on a short-term basis, getting a representative from one of the larger townships to replace one of the smaller townships, but again, that's not going to happen.
happen until August or September. So,
but I mean, the proposal's out, so that's the proposal we're supposed to be responding to at this point in time. So I like the fact that they are open to some revisions, but we have a proposal in front of us now that we'll have to deal with one way or the other. So
what Steve Volpe, the Township Association chairperson, asked me to do, and I've agreed to do that, is to summarize our concerns and send it to him so that he can then in turn give it to the three township representatives. Okay. So that at least we've got a voice at the table.
Yeah.
Second hand, so to speak, instead of first person. But okay. So that's where we're at. So with the consent of the board, what I'd like to do is confirm this June 15th meeting for Sean to come to make a presentation.
And then we prepare, so are you preparing a written document that you're giving to the Township Association on our concerns that you'll share with us?
Or? I could do it either way you want to do it, Carl.
Okay.
I could circulate it, and you guys could edit it, and then I could pass it on.
Yeah, why don't you just circulate it so we all have a chance to look at it, and I don't know if police and fire would have any input. I mean, it's an EMA agreement, so probably wouldn't hurt that we all have a chance to look at it, but at least we can get that to him and let him know what our concerns with. I would think that they would be aware of that, but I get obviously they're not. So yeah. So we'll make them aware. So okay.
That's all I have.
Yeah, good. Connie, anything?
Nothing this evening.
All right, I'm good. Fiscal officer, Pat?
Yeah, I'll ask for approval of the April 20th regular trustee meeting minutes, please.
Okay, go ahead and make a motion to approve the April 20, 2017 regular trustee minutes. Second?
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Carries. General fund, six-month review.
Yeah, we, six-month review-wise, looking at appropriations and expenses, things are in good order going through 17, but then what Paul and I and Donna provided some numbers, and Paul was going to speak to you guys about is kind of what things look like 5-6 years, and then an idea slash way to change a couple things to make that allocate some funds to save the general fund over time and extend it longer.
Okay.
Based on the current expenses and so forth.
Year to date on general funds, just fine. We should be in area 42% of the spending, and we're in the low 30s right now, so we're following that fairly closely.
Okay.
In your packet is a plan. It's only a plan and in draft form right now. Basically, it's in
Excuse
lieu
me,
of...
Is that
yes,
this document?
I'm referring to this.
Can we put that up on...
We're not equipped for that. I don't have that on a thumb drive or anything right now. I just want to. This is a want to speak very high level about this plan. Basically, if you look at the column on the left, it's basically where we are right now and where we're going to be given all the given circumstances, with no allocation of anyone's salary towards any other fund. The column on the right basically is taking the total amount of employees at Genoa Township and dividing them into the say we have 90 employees. So my salary would be, you know, Joe would represent 1/90th of my salary, and Gary would be 1/90th. So it's taking the wages of myself, Linda Greco, and Donna Batten and utilizing this plan, since we represent all departments with HR, with administration, with payroll. Basically, if you started in June, and these figures were based on June, starting in June. So in a nutshell, it basically diverts the expenses away from general fund, and it has the other levied funds funding some of the wages.
So it's like a central service support.
Yes. So
it's almost like a charge back to a cost center type thing.
Right.
If you weren't doing something like, if we're in a given condition we are now, I estimate that by the end of year 2020 that we'd be in a negative status on the general fund. On the second page. But if you utilize this plan without looking at any other revenue sources for the general fund, you can extend the general fund down to year end of 2023 until we hit a negative figure. So you basically extend without raising any taxes, without causing any new source of levied funds or anything. You could extend the general funds going negative for 3 more years.
So in the allocation concept, would it be everybody in the administration office with the exception of the zoning and development department, those two?
3 people wages would come out of this. So this would be, yeah, everybody but Don and the trustees and Pat.
Well, why don't we include the trustees in that allocation? Why don't we include Pat? And the only people that I could see to exclude would be the zoning and development department.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, communications, communicates, you know, so on and so forth. You do things, we do things collectively. If the concept works for the administrator, then it should work for all of us the same way, which would even push that number out further by a year or 2 years. I like that idea. It's a creative approach.
The model simple, easy to understand, and not be greedy on the other departments. So, I mean, this is only a plan. So, yeah, other people can be added to this.
So, Paul, first of all, I appreciate you doing this. It's something we have to look at. Two things. One is we also have to look at the other end of the spectrum. Two chiefs sitting over here, and I'm assuming they're aware of this, going, what? So we have to look at that aspect of it. But the other one is, how much money are we talking, I guess? I mean, what are the dollar amounts? Because are we basing the expenses, estimated expenses on what? On a certain percent growth each year, or?
I kept a 2% on 2022-23. I did a 2% growth on it. I can't increase revenue, so I kept the revenue the same. And basically, the expenses the same, too. Slight increase.
I was going to say, yeah, there is a.
So, yeah, I think maybe I did plug a 2% in for those years to allow for any incidentals. You can tell, and 2017 is based on half of a year of doing this. So you can see at the year-end balance of 2017, one compared to the other, it's about $100,000 difference.
Okay.
So
95-ish that first year, right, we talked about. And then when you go into the next year, it starts to grow a little bit more. So it's about $95,000 for year in 2017. But year in 2018, now you're looking more $300,000 difference.
So, Paul, would you take the salaries, wages, and fringe benefits?
I only took salary. I didn't do the fringes.
We should do the fringes.
That's why I brought it up. I didn't want to seem too greedy and say, oh, my goodness, you're going for the touchdown here in one play. So,
no, I mean, the logic that you've developed is clear. It's good. It's appropriate. But we should capture all the costs because you and everybody else is supporting everybody. So we should allocate those total costs based on the headcount of each representative of each department. So if there's 30 police people, then they get 30, let's say that we have 100 people for easy math, they would get 3/100ths of whatever this pool of cost is. Fire would get, if they have 50 people, they'd get 5/100ths. The trustees would still have, we'd get 3, because we would still do certain things and so on and so forth.
I could work on that for the next meeting, show you some some estimates.
So you want a fully loaded, full-time employee, so, you know, the benefits and everything included, what we pay for insurance. So we call it fully loaded, right? So everything that the cost of an employee is for a year, whether it's Paul, Donna, Linda, that type of figure, we can get that figure.
Well, just so I understand, you want administration, me, Donna, Linda, and the four of you?
Leslie?
I think Leslie should be in there, too. I think that was a good point, because she does work with each and every department person.
I would look at it the opposite way. Instead of who to include, I would look at it as who do we exclude. And the only ones that I could think of would be the Zoning and Development Department. Yeah. I don't think that there's a crossover to what they do in their responsibilities to any other department.
Work on a couple scenarios.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Looks good.
Thanks.
Good concept. Like it. All right.
Done.
You're done? All right. You're done. General fund, 6-month review. Fire.
Good evening.
Chief Honeycutt.
First order of business. And a motion to accept the resignation of Dan Arnold effective June 2nd, 2017. Dan was with us full-time a number of years and then got a full-time job with Columbus, reassigned to part-time, and now he's stepping back again due to family and such.
I'll go ahead and move to accept the resignation of part-time firefighter paramedic Daniel Arnold effective June 2nd, 2017. Second?
Second.
Discussion. Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Second order of business, I would recommend a motion to accept the generous donation of Robert and Corrine Frick in the amount of $500.
Good. Move to graciously accept the donation in the amount of $500 from Robert and Corrine Frick for the fire department. Second?
Second.
Discussion. Any reason for this they give?
Well, they sent a little note that says, Chief, I just want to thank you and the department for the help you gave me, especially Adam and Anthony. Feeling well now with three broken ribs, thought the department could use the funds to help out. Thanks again, Bob and Kareem.
Excellent. So, very good. Well, we thank you.
I'm thanking them for their generous donation.
Great. Roll call.
Question, would that be deposited in the general fund or the one of the fire department funds?
It goes into the fire department fund, but it doesn't get allocated until further on down the road after the next fiscal year.
Thanks.
Yes. Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries.
And then I don't have anything else on the list, but I did want to let you know we did have our first citizens advisory meeting. Was attended by all that were appointed, so we had a good showing, and it was a very good first meeting.
And, did they elect a chairperson?
They did not at that meeting. This meeting was kind of everybody introduced themselves. Trustee Goodman kind of gave a little of the mission that for the group, and then through some discussion, just trying to feel people out, and we said probably at the next meeting, hopefully we'll get some officers, chair and vice chair and secretary. But as people opened up a little bit, I think it kind of gives them an idea of, instead of just, how about you? You know, so whoever doesn't show next time, they'll be the chair and the vice chair. Right, Connie?
Yeah. Exactly.
Is during its infancy, the committee, is it going to meet more than once a month or monthly or quarterly?
Bi-monthly is what is being looked at.
Bimonthly?
Bimonthly, yes.
Meaning
every 2 months? Every 2 months,
yes. So.
Okay.
That's not biweekly.
Payroll work is 26 times a year.
Mm-hmm. That's why I asked the question.
Bimonthly is every other month.
Bimonthly actually has two definitions. It can be twice a month, or it can be every other month.
We'll be meeting every other month right now.
All right. Anything else to add?
Not for that, no.
Okay.
So,
anything else to add?
Oh, okay. we did have a mishap the other day. I believe the the other night over the holiday weekend, gentleman and companion were kayaking. He went missing. We responded, and we didn't. Unfortunately, we didn't recover him that evening. So we then went out Saturday with Columbus Police Divers, and then also ODNR, and they were out there for about 3 hours. On the way, the winds and such picked up back in the shore. About 200 yards from shore, our boat ended up capsizing. Everybody's fine. The boat's fine. The motor's fine. We lost a little bit of equipment, but we're now in a mode. We've got a meeting tomorrow. That same group is all on, so we're going to try to figure out exactly what happened so we can prevent from whatever happened from happening again. So, but just make you aware.
Very good. Just glad no one else was hurt.
No. No. That's all I have.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Police, Chief.
Good evening. I guess this is under old business. I previously, a couple months ago, sent you our police policy manual revisions, chapters 1 through 9. I received some comments and incorporated those and changes. And I wanted to back and make sure I was clear. I might not have been clear when I first said it, but that's not the entire manual. There's no chapters to come. So those should be final. Hopefully, my goal is to get those done, get them to you to look at in the July meeting. So I think chapter 16, hopefully by then. That should hopefully complete the manual by then. But what I'd like to be able to consider is that chapters 1 to 9 are good to go, since Ped just finished the rest of it as I get it to you.
Chief, I know one of the things that you said that was that formatting would be done later.
Yes.
This
is just strictly the content.
Somebody's eagle-eyed.
Yeah. Now we have somebody we're working with out on the outside that's a policy person, a manual person, and it's going to structure and get everything together.
Excellent.
So this is just wanted to get it done. I wanted to get the content approved before we did all the formatting and put it together for final implementation.
I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the Juneau Township Police Policy Manual Chapters 1 through 9, updated as of June 1st, 2017, with future chapters to be presented at the July meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Abstain.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries.
And then the next thing is a request a motion to accept a donation of $100 for Mr. and Mrs. Chapman. They attended our Citizens Police Academy and gave us a card. So they enjoyed it very much, and a check for $100.
Very good. Move to graciously accept a donation in the amount of $100 from Patrick and Tyra Chapman for the police department. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion. Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Motion carries.
That's so all the business I have, yes.
Great. You wrapped up the police academy.
Yes.
And another one going to be scheduled
next year. We do one a year.
One a year. Very good.
At this point, so.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Unless there's any other questions or business for me, that's all I have.
Good.
All right. Thank you.
Zoning. Joe?
Good evening. I have just a couple short things on the agenda.
First item, status of zoning secretary hiring. Applications for the zoning secretary position were due May 19th. Linda and I have gone through the applications. We shortlisted our candidates down to 6 people, and we held interviews with Paul sitting in on Tuesday. And so we're now going comparing notes, checking references, and we hope to have a name before you at the mid-June meeting. So we're pushing ahead on that.
How many applicants were there?
Well, I didn't get the final tally from Linda, but there was well over 20. So I think we did good, and we used some of the electronic formats that were recommended, and I think that yielded positive results for us. I think we got some people that we may have not normally would have pulled in. So we were very happy.
All right.
Zoning resolution update in regards to the assessment. I have gone through and drafted all the strikeouts that were recommended in the assessment, so that's complete. I'm still waiting for the boilerplate text that Mr. Griggs said he could provide to us. He's been tied up with a few cases that he's had on his plate that he's still working through. He's hoping to get me something possibly even as soon as tomorrow for me to start inserting into the document. My hope is that I can get it soon enough that I can get in front of the Zoning Commission for initial discussion on the June 12th agenda. So that is the plan going forward there. The commission is probably looking at at least a two-phase approach. The first phase is going to be just deleting the stuff that we can easily delete and inserting sort of what I would call sort of the boilerplate language that there shouldn't be a ton of debate about because it's just going to be the recommended language straight from the attorney that matches what the ORC says it has to be. Some of the other discussions, which are probably more policy discussions, reformatting discussions, which are going to be more in-depth, take more time, that second phase. But right now we're going to try to get the low-hanging fruit and then continue to work forward from that point.
So when do you anticipate a target date for us to review and then potentially adopt?
Well, I mean, I don't want to speak for the commission having not seen the document yet. My guess is if they see it on the 12th, I doubt they'll probably be ready to initiate it right off the bat. My guess is they'll want to take at least one more meeting to take a look at it. So if they initiate in July, we could have the hearing with the commission in August, and then assuming we only have to have one hearing and they push it through, that would probably put it in your hands in either September or early October.
Who is the current chair?
The current chair, Mr. Jackson, was voted the chair for the 2017-2018 year, and Mr. Mark Antonetz was voted the vice chair for that term.
Can you ask the chair to have multiple meetings just to expedite this?
I had discussions about that. So certainly it's an option for them. They are aware that multiple meetings may need to happen, especially with some potential applications coming down the pike. We don't want to hold up all other business just because we've got some developments we're reviewing. So we'll take a look at that.
If this is so-called boilerplate and we're talking September, that's an awful long time for boilerplate stuff that should not have too much discussion, as you stated.
It's not so much how much time it's going to take up. Take in terms of following the 30-day notification process, public hearing process. So our hands are a little bit tied in terms of there's really no express lane option for zoning text amendments. We have to sort of
boilerplate.
Even if it's a boilerplate, we still have to follow the same process.
Okay. So that's the boilerplate. Then are we anticipating non-boilerplate as well?
By the end of this year, for something to come in front of the trustees by the end of this year, I think would be very, very, very optimistic. Because there's just a lot of policy discussions that just need to be had and sitting down with the document. And those may even be special meetings or just meetings one-on-one, myself and Mr. Jackson, to go through some of the things. And, you know, obviously, if any of the trustees would like to sit down with me, I know, Trustee Goodman, you're intimately familiar with the document from your time on zoning. So, be happy to sit down and have those discussions about any in-the-weeds detail kind of items, any suggestions that anyone may have.
And I would be happy to discuss anything that you feel I could be useful with.
Okay. I may reach out to you at some point, and maybe we can sit down and talk through some ideas.
Mm-hmm. So, Joey, if there are people who have issues that they would like to see either changed or added to the zoning resolution, is there a process? What is the process, anticipated process, for getting that public input into the process, other than through public meetings or something like that?
Certainly, people can always reach out to me. There is an option that someone could put an application in and file for a zoning text change, just like we changed the zoning district on a map. Someone could pay the fee and put the document on the agenda and have it go through the process. You know, it followed the same state mandated process. So again, there's no real express lane for it. But okay. Certainly, we're all ears. We're always interested in suggestions.
Okay. How'd the walkabout go?
Yeah, that was the other thing. I know it wasn't on the agenda. I did want to touch on walkabout went well. We had a public attendance. It was a very very muddy walkabout. It rained significantly the night before, but we were able to walk the majority of the property. Mr. Luby was there representing the potential applicant. He sort of reinforced what I had thought was the case. He said he didn't have any plan drawings of any layout available, but he said the intention is to build single-family units, similar style, density layout to the Vinmar Village plan. And even though we didn't have a formalized public comment period, a lot of the several members of the public did join us on the entire walkabout, which was quite arduous. So I think they all deserve a, you know, a hearty thumbs up from me for sticking it out. But we were able to engage in a lot of informal conversation. I know I had informal conversations with several members of the public as I was walking, and I observed the commission members engaging in similar conversations with the public. So I think it went.
So to clarify, and just as the lady who spoke earlier today or this evening talked about a town center down on Old 3C, the town center was a concept several years ago that was talked about up in the northern part up in this area. So to clarify, there is no town center being proposed. There are no condominiums being proposed.
Correct.
There is no through street being proposed. Correct. Otherwise known as Sheffield Drive. I think there's no commercial development as part of this plan.
Correct.
Or discussion. So my concern is that there is information out there on the internet, various websites, that are still talking about those concepts. And I would just advise the residents of the township that if they want the accurate information, the official information on Genoa Township's what has been proposed, what has been submitted, that they come to the Genoa Township website or call Joe Schaefer directly and ask any questions that he may have. That we will not be responsible for any information accuracy that is out there on any other website other than the Genoa Township's official website.
Very good. I thought earlier you said that the engineering firm does not have any drawings that were available. How are they going to be able to get drawings from then to by June 12th?
They didn't make any drawings available at the sidewalk, but that's not to say they don't have drawings put together. I have seen informal sketches, so I know they have more than just the aerial imagery, but they've not given me anything to keep as a public record, nor have they made an application as part of the public record. So, but as soon as we get the application, it'll all be a matter of public record, and we will post it on the website, and we'll be happy to email it or provide it to anyone who makes such a request.
Very good.
What is the density of, you said they are considering single-family homes similar to Vinmar or Village or Vinmar Farms or both?
Sort of both. I think the lot sizes are going to be slightly different. I believe they might be closer to.
Okay.
There's still going to be single family homes. I don't know who's going to be the builder. I don't know if they know who the builder is going to be. Right now, I just know sort of general high level single family units, similar layout to style design.
I think until an official plan is submitted, we shouldn't be speculating on what it could be or couldn't be. Or
yeah, it's hard to say, but they've told me single family homes.
Thank you.
All right. That's all I have for you this evening.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Communications. Leslie?
I don't have any.
When's the website going live?
A revision to the design last week, but it hadn't changed enough from the initial design. I wasn't happy with it. I didn't think that it would give you guys enough to respond to in terms of like option A, option B, or something in the middle. So we had a talk Friday, and tomorrow they will have a more revised version for me to circulate.
Okay. Is there a lack of understanding of what you're communicating to them? Is there resistance? Is there what, you know, what would you articulate things pretty well, and I think that you had a lot of input from us as well as, I don't know, maybe a half a dozen to a dozen residents.
Yeah.
So how did they miss the mark on Plan B?
What they told me was that they thought we were closer than we felt that they were to a final design. So they were just trying to make little tweaks, and we were wanting to see
wholesale changes.
Yeah. So I think that was it. But I was working through their liaison, and this week I got to have a conversation directly with the actual designer, and I think that will help with the interpretation issues he was having.
Okay.
Great. Well, it's going to look good.
Yes. Thank you.
Good job on keeping Facebook updated and active and stuff, new stuff on that. So,
great.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Communications, man, we're cutting through this stuff. Paul?
First up is Orchard Lakes resolution. We received an edited version from the county prosecutor's office today. I haven't even had a chance to read through that. I don't know.
Yeah, I read through it. The HOA, President Carrie Menos, is out of town, so she's not going to be back. The edits that were being made by the county prosecutor, I haven't really had a chance to look at them, but I will, and then I'll get them out to everyone before the next meeting, obviously, since they are his final edits. Chief, I think you were copied on it as well, so you can take a look at it from that standpoint. I mean, I don't think there was anything major as far as I think it continues to be condensed as much as we can, and the clarification made as clear as we can. So we'll have something at the next meeting. That's the plan, but I will send it out to everyone prior to that.
Okay, so you're liaisoning with everybody, and then you'll send us. Is that the plan?
That's okay. The way it's been, yeah.
Next up in your folder this evening is under the Handbook for Boards, Commissions, and Committees. I have the one from last Friday in there, and also there's one, Frank's edits. I haven't had a chance to incorporate all of those in because there's quite a few. So that's where they are. They're not complete.
So how much longer can we beat this dead horse? I mean, what I thought was going to end up being a fairly simple process has turned into a rather arduous undertaking. I mean, I haven't had a chance to look at all the edits that Frank sent in the other night. I mean, I'm to a point of saying let's approve it with the condition that staff make final edits as they feel appropriate and necessary. There was a couple things in here that I did see. I know, Frank, you were still talking about listing all members with names, mailing address, telephone, email. I know we have heard from at least one, if not more, committees that they are not interested in providing that. So if there are some substantive issues that I think that still need to be talked about, I would say, Paul, go through, make whatever edits you feel are necessary, grammatical, formatting, whatever. If there's any substantive issues you still think that are in need of our conversation, then bring it back to the next meeting. But to continue to prolong this any longer, I think it's I just don't think it's right. So I'm actually going to go ahead and make a motion to move to approve the Genoa Township Handbook of Boards, Commissions, and Committees dated June 1st, 2017 with final non-policy edits by the administrator and any other questions that he has to be brought back at the next meeting. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Further discussion?
I did have time to go through this. I went through it last night. I went through it again this afternoon. And I have some concerns about certain items. Some of them I don't care about. And in fact, I'm very much ashamed of myself for not seeing where it said chairman and it was changed to chairperson. As the only female sitting here, I should have caught that one. Shame on me. But I've noticed that throughout this, you have changed things to Genoa and taken out township. I think it's important, very important, in fact, to identify us as Genoa Township. I went through this afternoon and just searched on the web by Genoa, and I found out there are lots of them. There's Genoa Township, Genoa, Michigan, the city of Genoa, which is near Toledo, Genoa, Italy. There's Genoa Healthcare, which is in Texas, Arizona, New Jersey, Florida, and Montana. Genoa Baptist Church, which they list as Genoa Church on the website, and Genoa Pharmacy in Westerville. That's as far as I got. So I think that it's extremely important that we identify ourselves as Genoa Township throughout. I agree with what Carl said about not adding the mailing addresses, etc. In fact, our initial fire resident committee said they were fine as long as those were kept internal to the committee. They did not want them published for everybody and their brother to see. I'm scanning through this very quickly because I don't want to take the entire meeting. On page 14, number 4, it talks about don't take too much of the meeting to talk about things that could be accomplished before. I think we could probably change that and say be prepared by researching before the meeting whenever possible. There's some grammatical things, Paul, I'll be happy to talk to you about with the individual, his, her versus their. If they're a single, then it should be his, her, not their. One more second here. Turn in pages. That's another grammatical thing. I think there was one more big item, as I recall. The executive session, I think we need to leave something in there. We can't just take that all out. Maybe we don't need the entire explanation, but we need to say something about, you know, executive sessions, you're probably not going to hold many of them, and here's the basics of why you can't.
I don't think that they can have any.
Well, keep in mind, I'm looking at this as also including the trustees, because we do reference the Board of Trustees in here. So
zoning. It's this zoning, not, BZA.
This is not a, this is only for the committees.
No, it's not what this says. It says Board of Trustees right there. So it's all boards, boards, commissions, and committees.
Includes the Zoning Commission and Board of Zoning Appeals.
Right.
So those are public bodies that are eligible to have executive sessions with the approved reasons.
And they have.
Stated by law. What could they have an approved reason?
If there's potential development coming in where there's some proprietary information, they could break for executive session to discuss trade secrets of such sorts. But
I don't think that fits into executive session.
That is.
It has to be looking for.
Well, for no other reason, it includes the trustees. And so the trustees can do executive session. I see no reason why we shouldn't have it in there. So
I'm okay with some of those exceptions. I think that those are points that need further discussion.
Right. And I think we're to a point where, from a policy standpoint, the trustees have pretty much laid out what I think we want, the direction we want to go in. And I think at this point we turn it over to staff, let staff put it together, because we get to a point where we're doing this by committee, and it's just not efficient. So
we can always change it.
I mean, we can always change it.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, that's right.
But next month, next 6 months, next year, whatever the case may be,
it can be changed at the next meeting. But we have to get something out there for people to at least. I mean, we have new committees. We appointed those. They're meeting, and we just need to move this forward. So
the
motion.
The if I remember right. It had to have 100% attendance.
I think we,
the way that I read that, and I propose 75%. There needs to be some. It cannot be comprehensive attendance. That's just.
No, and I think we. In fact, I think I also made that change.
somewhere in here. It wasn't on the May 17th version that I looked at. Okay. It wasn't changed.
Well, Paul, in your edits, make sure that we're addressing the attendance, because there is, I mean, obviously 100% attendance is going to be challenging, but failure to attend. There was one dealing with the fails to attend all meetings held during any period as required by the revised code. And then a period of 90 consecutive days.
That was the reference.
Then he said 75%.
Been absent from a total of 1/4 of the regular meetings during calendar year. So the only one where we say have any, as far as attending all meetings, is if it is required by the revised code. The other one is who has been absent from a total of 1/4 of the regular, so it would be the 75%. And that was in the June 17th version. So anyhow, I think the intent is, Paul, clean it up. Let's get this thing, bring it back at the next meeting, but there's a motion on the table. So, roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes, motion carries. Good deal. All right. Next.
Next up is the policy for purchases exceeding $10,000. I know that between trustees there was two versions running around, and I'm not sure where we are on that one.
Language
out there that I didn't get.
This does not include the edits that I had suggested. Unfortunately, I do not have them with me this evening. I can send them to you, but if we want to get this done tonight, now I have them.
There you go.
Okay.
I didn't bring enough for everybody, Carl.
I'll look at
it. I don't even.
This looks
one.
Like it has.
That was it.
Okay. Paul, did you want to see one of these? Oh, this.
That's all right.
We're, I thought we had one.
No.
You want to speak to it, Frank? Go ahead. Your motion. I mean, your concept.
I will move to adopt a policy for purchases exceeding $10,000 as follows. Effective July 1, all purchases of tangible personal property, real property, and services exceeding $10,000 annually will require a minimum of 2 hearings at trustee meetings unless the majority of the trustees agree such purchases are an emergency, there is an upcoming price increase, or there is an imminent discontinuation of a sale, discount, or rebate. And number 2, a minimum of 3 competitive bids or quotes from vendors, suppliers, unless a majority of the trustees agree to vendor or supplier specialization, an emergency purchase, or a cost savings on such purchases, i.e., upcoming price increases, imminent discontinuation of a sale, discount, rebate, etc.
Okay. Motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion.
I'm curious as to what's broken. What are we trying to fix with this? You know, we've got some great language in here now that covers just about everything and closes some loopholes, but I'm still not sure what we're trying to fix.
Our current policy does not address anything, and the Ohio Revised Code does not address anything with regard to services. It only pertains to tangible personal property, i.e. items/materials. So that is an expansion, okay? And obviously the real property side of things would takes unanimous consent of the trustees to purchase anything with real estate. But the personal property tax side, the personal property side, is it? $25,000, I can't,
$50,000.
So anybody could spend $100,000 on services and does not need to come before the trustees.
Is that true? I mean, I'm.
A lot of the service. state agencies.
So our current process is we put together a budget in starting in November. The departments say, here's what we want to buy, here's what we want to do. They present the budget to the trustees pick at it, approve it, allow, disallow, approve the budget. And then that says, that's the plan, here's what we want to buy. And then they come, if anyone wants to buy something, they come back to us for
a purchase order.
Purchase order, which we approve.
Yes.
Or disapprove.
That's correct.
Unless there's blanket purchase orders, which are approved in January of each year.
Which we can or can't, don't have to approve.
I'm just talking about past practices.
Well, I understand. But again, what has been the problem with the blanket purchase order? I mean, have there been specific issues that... I guess I'm looking at what's the magic number of two hearings? What can't we do now? I mean, we could go four hearings if we wanted to now. We don't have to approve the purchase orders. We don't have to approve the budgets. So it seems like this is, again, just adding more layers of bureaucracy onto our process. I think we can do everything that we're suggesting be done here. We can do it now if we want to. We don't want to, we don't have to.
If I was going to hire an engineer for $25,000, I couldn't do that. I would have to come to the board to request a purchase order for $25,000. You would say, what are we comparing this to? You need some bids. So we would come to you with multiple bids. So that's the way we've done it in the past. We can't, anything over $2,500, we have to come to you and ask $2,500 internally for a purchase order before the trustees. So right now that's the way it is. And when you're referring to a hearing, is that like a public hearing where there's, or is this just bringing it up as an agenda item?
I don't know.
Is that like when Joe has a public hearing, or these are agenda items?
It was just a meeting. I don't know.
Brought up in a meeting?
The word hearings got inserted in one of the edits. To me, it's just a meeting.
Just brought up as an agenda item.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the reasoning is. I understand what you're saying completely and entirely, except that if we want to defer this, we can at any point. But it seems to me like we're just adding something that is going to slow the process. When we know that something should be done, then we've forced ourselves to do two meetings as opposed to one. Instead, we could elect to delay something and do two, three, or four meetings if we chose. I'm not seeing that this is really fixing anything.
Any other discussion? Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
No.
Mr. Gebhardt?
No. Motion fails. Okay. Joint waste contract resolution. Paul?
Yes. In the package, there's under new business, there's two resolutions this evening. The first is a resolution that will allow the township to proceed on
with the bids, joint request for bids with Orange and Liberty Townships for the waste contract. Currently, Rumpke has that contract. And the second resolution you have is an intergovernmental cost-sharing resolution that will allow for all three townships to share the cost of fees associated with going out to bid. Currently, in the bid specs, I'm listed as the contact person. And so if all three boards approve the resolution, we are on schedule now to go out to bid. The first count of will be made June 12th, followed by an next ad in favor of June 19th. So if the cost associated with turning the gas would be split three ways with the governmental resolution. Go out to bid.
Okay, well, to get things going, I'll make a motion that we enter into an intergovernmental cost-sharing agreement with Orange Township and Liberty Township for administration of the joint bid for the collection, transfer, and disposal of solid waste by an independent contractor. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion.
It was my understanding on the previous meetings that we've had that one, if not both, of those other townships did not want to participate. What is all of a sudden now that we're back to the Three Musketeers? I'm confused.
What they
didn't want to participate in was the renewal rate fund.
Okay.
Now they've all agreed independently to get out. So all three of the townships.
All three townships.
Next trustee meeting.
Okay.
The other two.
And the assumption is they're going to approve it.
Okay. We're not all breaking the way.
Okay.
Now.
It's hard to believe that it takes 75 pages to figure out a way to pick up trash, but
recycle it.
Where was the intergovernmental one?
It's a freestanding resolution in your packet.
Yeah, I know.
It's not part of the bid package.
Two. There was the one.
Yes.
Go ahead. Get that. Frank Ed.
Okay. So we're going to consider passing these two resolutions. What is the contract in here for? Or the bid proposal?
The bid is
expiring January 31st, 2018. We're not going to take any action to that document, per se.
It's been vetted by all three townships. We incorporated the thoughts of your breaking into the, I think there was a lot of discussion about the yard waste. We plugged that in as an option.
As I say, is yard waste going to
yes.
be in there?
It's an option.
Right.
So these are the specs that we need to approve this evening, the bid. To go out the bid to follow the strict schedule. The problem is if you don't allow a long bid time, then we have 26,000 subscribers on this bid. It won't allow enough time for competitive bids for the smaller companies to prepare for the conversion.
Okay. Appendix C, pages Q and R are affidavits. For personal property tax, those are obsolete and should be removed. Ohio phased out personal property taxes in 2009, and so those two forms, one is for a delinquency, a personal property tax affidavit, and one is for a non-delinquency of personal property tax. Both of those are irrelevant. So those should be deleted.
Who prepared this?
County prosecutor. Hmm. I can, if you would approve it then, the deletion of those pending approval of the prosecutor would delete those.
Okay, but we're not taking action on this, are we?
You have two
resolutions.
Right.
To do the intergovernmental.
Right.
You break up the cost. And the second is to move ahead with the bid.
Okay.
But that's the process of moving ahead with the bid, not necessarily the content of the bid.
Yeah, these are the bid specs.
I understand, but we're moving ahead with the process of the bid.
Yes.
We're not approving the bid specs.
No.
So the motion does not need to include a deletion of
right.
Q and R from Appendix C.
Right.
It does not. That can be taken care of. Offline, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. And in the motion, that was not included. You added that. So, yeah. Okay, good. All right, so we're clear.
It's just unnecessary that they, because the vendors are going to look at that and say, what? We don't file personal property. What do you want us to sign?
Thank you for spotting that. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Okay, so Any other questions on the intergovernmental cost-sharing agreement, which is before us now? Okay, hearing none, roll call.
Roll call. Mr. D'Antonio?
Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go ahead. No, I'm not going to read the whole thing. All right, so I'll go ahead and insert resolution. So a resolution to enter into intergovernmental cost-sharing agreement with Orange Township, Liberty Township for administration, a joint bid for contract transfer to disposal of solid waste by an independent contractor, which I think was in the original motion. So I think we're good. Okay. Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gilbert?
Yes. Motion carries. All right, so that one's done. Now, the next would be a resolution to proceed on a joint request for bids with Orange and Liberty Townships for the collection, transfer, and disposal of solid waste by an independent contractor. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion on this resolution. Hearing none, roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. All right. So we got both of those underway. So our contract with Rumpke, current contract with Rumpke, runs out
January 31st, 2018. Was the representative from Rumpke then incorrect in what she told us at the last meeting or the previous meeting that they could do just with us alone as a singular?
She was correct in the mind of her attorneys. She was not
correct.
That contract that we're currently under is for all three entities in one contract, and it can't be broken up individually. So,
but a new contract starting February 1, 2018 could be, correct?
Extension of an existing contract.
Well, let's think about getting a new contract, not an extension.
We're going out the bids together again to look at all bids.
So, but are we bound, Frank's point, so what if we go out to bid with all three, we get the bids back, and they're not as good as we have or what was being proposed by Rumpke? Do we have the option of us backing out of the three-township deal and going to Rumpke?
Or any other vendor.
Or any other vendor.
You have to go out and bid again for other bids individually.
Right.
I think as a precaution, we should be doing this under parallel path, one with the joint, the three, and then one as a solo. Because there may be a smaller outfit out there that cannot handle all three, but would love to have our business at a reduced price.
But you're right, that is a possibility, that I think this is a case where it's not necessarily lowest bid.
It's lowest,
lowest and best.
Right.
Because, you know, Tom and his pickup truck going around the township could be the cheapest, but it could be 3 weeks before his trash gets picked up. So I think we have to factor those types of things in. I see where you're going, though. I mean, is there...
I mean, the specs are done.
Yeah.
Well,
we just make it for Genoa Township.
We just make it for Genoa Township instead of all three.
You'll know.
But are we in?
You'll know July 5th if you want to do that or not, because you'll have a very large consortium's bids back.
So we'll have our bids back by July 5th.
July 5th.
Okay.
But we won't have anything to compare those bids against on a standalone basis.
True.
Unless we run these paths simultaneously. Is there any extra effort involved in running it simultaneously, separate paths?
It sends a bad message to the other townships.
I don't know
if you want to do that. I don't know. It just seems like it's a...
Are we bound?
One at a time. So, we're not happy with the consortium.
Well, we can't... We, we can't compare the consortium's bids with anybody else if we're not getting alternative pricing. I don't see that in bad faith. I see that as good business sense. I would expect that the other townships would maybe consider to do the same. I mean, to Carl's point or question, are we bound, are we locked in that we've got to go in a three-way? Or can we do a single also? Or can we look at going with Berkshire? Could we partner with Berkshire? They're with, Berkshire just recently went to centralized pickup. I can't remember who they selected. Or potentially Harlow.
Similar type
square mile area, it's easier to make the contractors find it easier to make their money hopping door to door. Have two stops and maybe a tenth of a mile away, next stop. 2/10 of a mile next stop. So that price would be much higher. And
how soon after the bids are in do we need to make a decision?
It's up to the boards.
So it's
if it's
a good bid, bring it to you the following bid. According to the
calendar that we put, we allowed for a little bit of time to analyze the bids if there's several and if they're complicated. We said just as an option to bidders, the intent to award the bid would be in August, probably the first meeting in August.
I guess, why would we do it so early?
Well, I would much rather do it earlier than really push up against the line on this.
If someone, say, Waste Management comes in and bids, they have to have the ability to service 26,000 stops in a 3-day period. So that's going to require more trucks and more manpower. Because they have existing routes out there now that they're servicing. So 26,000 stops in 3 days is a lot. So they would have to hire additional people and buy trucks. So.
But they may be able to handle Genoa's 9,000 and not the 26. Because that is a big chunk. It's a 3-township area, and as you said, 26,000 stops.
Well, I mean, I think if we go forward with this, come July 5th or thereabouts, we get the bids back, and if we don't think they're where they should be, I don't think there's anything at that time stopping us from going back out. But I would also want to be cautious that the other two townships don't cut the branch out from underneath us, and they accept it, and we're out here on our own, and now we are stuck with 9,000 residents and Tom and his pickup truck.
But so, if I understand it right, this is a 3-township contract. So if we say no, they wouldn't be able to get into this either.
That's probably
is
true.
That correct?
That's correct.
So then they would be out looking for Tom and his pickup.
Right.
Okay.
So I think we proceed the way we have been on this for right now, just to get the process going.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I think we do need to maintain some flexibility and to protect our interests, but I get real concerned that that we would be out here on our own, potentially.
We didn't receive the lowest rate in Central Ohio by going out on our own. It was with the 3 townships bid.
Well, and I agree with what Mr. Wise said, that ethically there would just be something not quite right about parallel bidding.
We're with you, but we're not really with you.
Yeah. So you might be, maybe not.
So let's see what happens.
Wouldn't
and
the same people
we still have time.
Both? Wouldn't the same people bid on both? You'd end up with the same bids, wouldn't you?
Rumpke may not die. Maybe it wouldn't. I don't know.
It seems like the same people go, we'll bid on that. All Joe's on their own, we'll bid on that too. And you'd end up with the same exact bids.
Don't know.
Can we, basically this is a form of aggregation. Okay, to a multiple degree. Can we do aggregation with regard to cable services? Can we take that leverage?
I don't
know. Negotiate?
Most of the township, you could have one company, but other parts of the township don't have services that us on the mainland have over here, because I know they're very limited on the other side of Hoover. So I don't know. To answer your question, that's a legal question, and I don't have that
degree.
Can
you investigate that and find out? Because if the concept of aggregation makes economic sense for electric, for gas, for trash pickup, why wouldn't it make sense for cable and internet usage? And if there isn't currently internet service on the east side of Hoover, maybe that's they can get it.
I could ask the question. I don't know if the residents want that.
No,
or not,
I mean,
but I'll see.
Right. First step is can
cable and
conceptually
TV.
Can we do it?
And then
obviously, we'd either, I'll use the word, have a vote, put it on the ballot, or we could have several public meetings to find out if there is interest.
And I don't know how the regulations of the cable industry differ from everything. I have no idea. It's,
can't be any
worse. Looking at
can't be any worse than the PUCL.
One of the issues with cable is who laid the lines. So, for example, up in Vinmar Farms, we can get coax, we can get, who are they now? They're Spectrum now. Used to be Time Warner, used to be Insight, used to be coax. Anyway, those are the people that lay the lines. So the only cable that we have an option for is Spectrum. If you want satellite, you can go to some of the other companies. But that's the issue. And there's a number of people who would like to have some choice in this matter. But there is no choice to be had.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe some new company A runs new lines, okay? Because that is a complaint. We've all heard it multiple times in terms of serviceability.
Probably and they won't lay lines without a guarantee of people doing service. Essentially,
it's expensive.
We don't have lines up here. It's because we're not the last mile, so we have to go to coax to get the last mile. So our cost, even with running the lines, we're not the local exchange. It even goes over to cable. And so we would provide it to here, and then it would still be Spectrum to here. Yep. There's a cost involved there, and the economics don't work.
And a few years ago, WOW came through, and they were supposed to go south of Big Walnut to a certain date and then go north of Big Walnut. And to my knowledge, they never went north of Big Walnut.
Well, I think the first step is, is it legally permitted?
Can it be done? Yeah.
And then we can go to, if it is, then we can have discussion and step two,
as far as how we do it.
Yeah.
All right. Worth checking out. Okay, so we got all that done. Paul, any other business on administration?
No other business.
No other business. All right. At this time, we'll go into announcements. June 7th, Park Advisory Committee. June 12th, Zoning Commission. Next trustee meeting, June 15th, at 6 p.m. here at the office. 6:30, I'm sorry. Geez, that's what I read. Any other business come before the board? Seeing none, I will make a motion that we adjourn the regular trustee meeting.
Do we want to go into executive session?
Do we need to?
I don't have anything.
Do you have something?
No updates?
Nothing new.
Okay.
So at this time, make a motion to adjourn the regular trustee meeting at 7:50 p.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Maiden's discussion. Roll call.
Roll call. Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. We stand adjourned at 7:50 p.m.